It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Oh, we got a ton to get into. It is Wednesday. Midway point of your work week, hopefully. You're enjoying yourself and having a beautiful day. We're at the Gold Mine on Airline in the Party Shack today. Normally in the concourse, we're in the Party Shack, so you can come meet players and coaches after a game. The team will be on the road again. We're still going to hang out with them. We'll hear from head coach Corey Brown as we normally do on Wednesdays. This time we'll be in person as we'll talk about the first loss of the season. Can they rebound? We will definitely get into that here as well. Plus, of course, we got a ton to get into as the Pelicans win number 42. The significance of that, that is our lead today. And we'll get into all of that, of course, and more. Also coming up on the show, going to have Jim Eichenhofer from the Pelicans join us and talk about the upcoming battle in Florida with the two games at Orlando and Miami, the significance of all that. We'll touch on that. 145, Jeff Boggs, ESPN Bet. Sean Fox coming up at 2:15. Ralph Marlborough has to go an hour early today, so instead of 1:15, he will be joining us at 12:15. So we got a ton to get into, and of course, as I mentioned, it is the midway
point. Oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more than what, that Camel Wednesday hump day, is that what it is?
Hi, Pels, yesterday getting the win. Your New Orleans Saints did sign an offensive lineman. We can talk about that. You probably want to talk about, too, the Chase Young contract. Details came out. Do you feel a little bit better, even though he's having a neck procedure? Different from surgery. Don't know what the procedure is. Here is words of wisdom.
To all the ladies, peace and humpiness.
You know what? I'll just get to it. Jonathan Jones on X posting the numbers here. So it is a one-year $13 million contract, but it includes $7.99 million in per-game roster bonuses. Huh? Yeah, so the base is 2.7, signing bonus 1.86, workout bonus 450,000, pregame roster bonus 7.99 million. So essentially, in short, he gets paid. It's pay to play, essentially. And it is kind of protective in that it is a very incentive laden contract for Chase Young. So we'll get into that and more. 800-998-1003 on the Reuterman Can hotline and guest line. Our thanks to Reuterman for joining us back on Monday. Newest sponsors of the Sports Hangover. Don't forget, hour one is always brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. NoWakeOutfitters.com. Fly fishing, paddleboard, kayaking. Go check them out. 1926 Airline Drive. Going to be there on April 12th to see what they're all about there and everything. So, got a lot to get into here, so let's get right at it before we get to Ralph Marlboro next segment.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Your New Orleans Pelicans starting game one of four on the road and pick up the win 104-91. Get it done. They get business taken care of as the Pels start out with 27 in the first quarter, 37 in the second quarter, had a nice halftime lead. Now, they lost the third and fourth quarter, but still wind up winning the game. 104-91, Zion once again leading the way in terms of point totals, 28 points for Z. And, of course, the highlight that everyone is showing.
Najee with the pick.
Alley-oop Z!
Fly, big boy.
And that's what everybody in this building has been waiting for all night long.
Zion Williamson, yet again, 25-plus points. I think it's five straight games. I saw a graphic on ESPN yesterday saying he had four, so last night he had 28. That would make it five, I'm assuming. Graf, if you're listening up there, as they just took off from Brooklyn, heading down the coast to Florida, please feel free to let me know. Z, 11 of 16 from the floor, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. We're going to get into the game and all. Look, he had 2 personal fouls early. He finished with 3. That shows maturity, too, making sure he can stay on the court and play and led the way. But everyone wants to know, Z, what about that dunk? What about the lob, man? What did you think about that? When, you know, Najee gets the steal, he's down the court.
What were you thinking when Najee got that steal?
Throw it up. Because it was crazy because me and him had, like, just talked about it. He said, hey, man, you need to – you go to the paint, you need to start dunking. So when he got the steal, I said, oh, he's throwing it. So he threw a good pass and went and got it.
Yeah, so there we go. He obviously did a solid job there as well. Head coach Willie Green – was talking about the win, and then we'll get into the lob here. No, you know what? Listen, could that lob pass have been better?
Z goes up and catches almost anything, so he makes it easy to throw it to.
It wasn't the best lob, but I mean, dude, the slow-mo in the photo where he caught it was unbelievable. The dotted circle basically just grabs the extension. He's playing awesome. We're going to get into all of that here as well. Look, the significance, obviously, is the win. So let's just start there. Willie Green on the victory.
Taking care of business. It's important for us, starting the trip off right, like you said, Jen. I thought the first half we really set the tone. Second half got a little sloppy. They made a run. We were able to sustain and make a few shots, but overall, really good effort on our guys' part, and, you know, it's a good trip.
Larry Nance had 13 points. You know, he and Trey Murphy, he had 10 as well. That double digits in the first half and really kind of helped spark another solid start on a road game and having that lead and not having to play catch up on the road. And I think things like that really are a big thing for this team, because then you don't have to worry about, you know, having to get off to a big start and things of that nature. Larry Nance on the team starting off better.
I think it says that we're watching film and adjusting as we go, as we get further in the season. Obviously starting slow is something for us that plagued us for a little bit, and I don't want to say it's completely over with now, but it's something we've addressed, and we've made a conscious effort to change that.
You know, C.J. McCollum only had 16 points. I say only. 4 threes. C.J. McCollum's changed his game a bit. He's shooting threes. He said that he's altered his game a little bit. Zion on C.J. playing a lot better from beyond the arc lately.
It helps a lot, and that's what me and C.J. talked about during the Clippers game. I know he's trying to facilitate at some points, but, you know, I need him to be aggressive on the offensive end because it opens up more for that first unit.
All right, now we need to get to the significance of win number 42. It is road win number 22 as well, but win number 42, that was the amount of wins the Pelicans had a season ago. 14 games left. 16 games above 500 currently are your Pelicans. So you got some more games that you can possibly win here and eclipse that total. Head coach Willie Green had this to say on the other aspect of it. It is a back-to-back winning season. Why is that significant? 07-08, 08-09. It's the last time that New Orleans has had a back-to-back win. It hadn't happened under the Pelicans. It happened with the Hornets. So it's been a bit. It's been a bit, right, since that happened. And 08, I think Jermichael said earlier this morning to me, was the last time that Will Guillory brought up. He was our guest on the Pels podcast from The Athletic. That New Orleans has hosted a playoff series, as in game one. The Pels, have you looked at where they are right now in the standings based off that win, inching closer to that four spot with, again, 14 games left, half game out of fourth. A half game out of fourth.
I give all the credit to God. I'm grateful to be in this position, to have an opportunity to coach these amazing guys in our locker room, work with all of our incredible staff. So it starts with that. It starts with having the high character people around us that allow us to be the best that we can. And it's truly a joy to come in every day and get an opportunity to grow and be better.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, matching that win total is a big thing already. A lot more to get going on. Here's Z.
It's very exciting, but we got to keep building. Talked about it beginning of the season, middle of the season, and now we're coming towards the end of the season. we just got to keep getting better because we want to be a contender. We got to keep like getting better with those small nuances in the game.
I left that cough on purpose. I could have got it out because I was listening, cutting his sound yesterday. And, Graf, if you're listening, you could probably verify this. I know he's missed, I think, a shoot-around because he sounds sick. And the reason I bring that up is because you hear him coughing, and I think he's obviously getting over it. The guy is out running everyone and slamming the balls everywhere. He sounds like he's got a cold, so he's battling that. He sounds a little nasally. This kind of gives you the idea of the conditioning, man, these guys are in, and specifically Zion as well. Here's Larry Nance on the fact that this team has matched the win total.
This is how you build a winning franchise. You know, it doesn't happen. You know, those franchises that, you know, just go from low wins to 60 wins, that's not sustainable. You know, you build a successful franchise, an successful roster, successful team by, you know, steady growing, steady improving, keeping the core together and really learning to play with and alongside each other. You know, that's what Denver did. That's what Milwaukee had done. That's what, you know, Golden State, you know, like teams you build. You build. You start slow and you build. And the fact that we've gone from, I should say, they went from, what, 1-12 3 years ago to, you know, where we're at now is a testament to Willie, testament to Griff, Swin, Trage, Bryce, B.I.Z., everybody that's been here along the way. You know, they're doing this the right way, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Willie Green on building a winning program.
We're trying to build starting with our foundation, and, you know, it starts with the people that we bring into our building that contributes to having a healthy program. And so high character, people that bring a ton of energy, that are hard workers, top to bottom. And that's the program that we're trying to build, is a sustainable winning culture. And it feels like we're trending in a good way right now.
Obviously, being in New York, a lot of attention is on Zion's play as of late, recently, and what he's been able to do. One of the things that you notice here as well, too, is Zion quickly getting off and running. Whether it's a rebound, if there is a board, he's off, he's trying to get going. That's why those lobs get going. Hustling on the other side of the court, too. I mean, look, Najee gets the steal. It's a little past half court before, I think, the three-point arc is when he gets it. Z's right next to him. A little higher than him, closer towards where the players' benches are, but then he takes off running and sprinting, and that kind of shows that attacking nature in mind.
It's a priority. It's almost a play for him. Is that he will get ahead of the defense, and sometimes, like you said, it's a kick ahead, and he's attacking before anybody's back, and sometimes he's ahead of the play, and he has a small guy on him, and we just throw it to him before anybody can get there. It's something he does well. It's something we. Our concept that we've adapted because it's kind of who he is.
Again, I mentioned, what is it, 4 or 5 straight games of 25 points or more, shooting percentage, leading defensively, doing all those different aspects of it. Larry Nance was asked yesterday, what are his thoughts as to what he's seeing Zion as of late?
Honestly, his focus level is right now is ridiculous. I was telling him, that's, you know, some of the best players that I've played with, this is the time they start peaking. And he's doing exactly that, following that exact mold. So, you know, just his play of late, his play this whole season, and most importantly, you know, we and I am just so proud of him for putting the work in on his body to stay healthy this year. That's big time for us as a team, and couldn't be more happy for him, truly.
All right, so he was asked, give me an example. Give me an example of why you think he's locked in. An example is?
Even something simple as, like, locker room pregame. You know, he's just a little less jovial, a little bit less, you know, laughing, joking. And now he's, you know, he's got his headphones in. I'm sure he's listening to B.I.G., you know, just, you know, locking in, staying focused. And he's, you know, he's sitting in his locker room just, in his locker just, you know, head down, kind of eyes cut, just, you know, really focused on the task at hand. And, again, to his credit, he's come out and handled business.
Again, Pels handling their business, currently a half game out of fourth place from the Clippers. The Thunder still up there with the Nuggets as they won yesterday. They beat Minnesota. The T-Wolves in third, one game back. Clippers 5 back, Pels 5.5, Kings 8. So New Orleans has a little lead on 6. In 7th, same record essentially as the Kings. They're also 8 back is Dallas. Phoenix 8.5 back in 8th. Your Lakers 11 back in 9. You have built a 6 game lead, essentially, right? Yeah, 6.5 game lead on the ninth spot with the Lakers with 14 to play. And full 7.5 game lead, or 6.5 or 7. I can't do the math. On the Warriors, they're 12 back. You're 5.5 back. Point is, I bring that up because, as I told you back on Monday, Mr. Dennis at the bowling alley was like, are they going to make the playoffs? They're not in the position where they're battling to try to be in the play-in game 9 or 10 to win and go home. They're in the mix, folks, to be able to maybe even host a first-round series. Ralph Marlborough will give his thoughts to the Chase Young signing, news, and much more. We come back. We're live at the Goldmine on Airline. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Hold on, Ralph. I'm having trouble connecting with you again. I don't know what it is that you do, but there we go. Now try. Say that again. How are you today?
I'm good, Beth. I was going to say, all this controversy over the Chase Young signing, we wouldn't have had this if Adam Schefter, the number one NFL reporter in the world, would have just said, Chase Young, he signed a one-year, five-year, $5 million contract with the Saints. He's got going to have neck surgery tomorrow. He's got $8 million in makeable incentive. Both the party and the team are very happy. We'll see how it goes. But no, they're like, oh, it's $13 million.
Yep.
Fully guaranteed. I guess he like cut and pasted from the agent. And we're freaking out because Chase Young's like, oh, yeah, I got to have neck surgery tomorrow. You know, so like, it's fine, you know, as far as the deal to me. For the Saints, I mean, this is the world they live in, Gus, because they're trying to get the cap back to normal.
Right.
And they shop it in the bargain bin, or as I like to say, like, it's the best. You know, when you go to Best Buy and they have that table with the open box stuff.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I can get an iPad for $200. Might be broken. The box is open. Might be great. You don't know. That's where the Saints are shopping now.
Let's kind of touch on that, because I do find it interesting. I had somebody send me a link trying to explain to me, you know, the best way how the Saints deal with the cap. I understand how they can get underneath and all of that, but it's kind of what you're just touching on here as well. There is a difference, and the analogy I keep using is when you get paid on that Friday, and then the following Friday is different than the following Friday when you actually get paid again, right? I mean, you eat differently. You choose how to spend your money that week, waiting to get to it. And that's what I keep saying. Can the Saints always get under a cap? Sure. Can they still restructure some more to find some more money? Sure, they're going to have to. And I get all of that. And, you know, we're in cap voidable years and all those. But that's different than some of these teams being able to just flat out go out there and get a lot of these players because you have a bulk of money, isn't it? I mean, am I wrong with that?
No, here's the thing. Like, if you're a team and you have, you know, if the Saints had $50 million of cap space, you could do more of these Chase Young type deals, or you could get a better quality of guy like a Jadeveon Clowney, right? Like, he's healthy, he's gonna get a 1 year deal from some team. It's gonna be like $10 to $15 million, and it's probably gonna be clean, right? Like,
right.
The Redskins or whoever who have a ton of cap space, they're just like, hey, we'll pay you 1 year $15 million because we got to get to the floor of the cap. So like, I have to do voidable years inside of an Easter egg, inside of a beignet, and all this stuff. And the Saints, they want to get back to that.
Right.
Gus. And the thing is, I yell at the cap nerds because they say, oh, it's the cap. I'm like, the cap doesn't prevent you from doing something. A team can do whatever you want, but you can't do everything you want. So the Saints are making the decision. They're like, hey, we want to get the cap back to kind of normal. So this year, we're not going to spend a ton of money, right? They haven't hardly spent anything, even with the Chase Young deal. They're still, I think, under like $4 million of like guaranteed bonus money they've doled out. So that's like nothing, right? So they'll probably do it this year, and they'll probably do it next year. But here's the thing, Gus. Like, the cap's going to go up another $25 million next year. So if Chase Young, let's say, he's injured and the neck surgery doesn't go right, and, okay, and he just doesn't play, whatever, they're going to get an $8 million credit. You add that to $25 million, the cap going up, the Saints will only be like $20 million over the cap next year. You do this sort of bargain hunting next year, and then voila, in 2025 or 2026, guess what? The cap sticks, and the Saints will be able to do fun, big spending and all. So, like, it's just choices that they have made. And, Gus, the reason why I'm fine with it is the Saints, they should be going all out and going YOLO and pushing money to the future and stealing money.
YOLO.
And the Super Bowl. It was fun when we were trying to get Drew Brees a ring in 2019, 2020. It was fun. Like, do whatever you got to do, baby.
Okay.
Make it work. Fudge the numbers. Cook them books, Kai. But now, it's like, what are you cooking? You're going to cook the books so you can go, you're gonna take $40 million from future years so you can go 10-7? Like, it would be fun, but, like, I get the same feeling. Like, nah, we're not doing that. We're gonna try to be normal. Like, it's fine. Okay. It's fine, and it's just a different way of doing things. It's just, every team has to make choices.
I that's why I'm having you explain it and look at it from that perspective. That said, are the Falcons still your favorite? No, I'm kidding. Look, you know what? We'll worry about that here a little bit. But this is a very real thing. Regardless, look, obviously they believe he's going to be ready for the season, so we're going to play it as he'll be ready for the regular season. Does that mean at 14 in a couple of weeks, does that take edge rusher off, and that maybe allows me to look, Mel Kiper came out with his latest mock draft yesterday. He has the Penn State offensive lineman going. Pro Football Focus came out with one yesterday. They have the offensive lineman from Penn State there going. So does that at least give me some maybe some more options, or maybe narrow it down? Hey, man, maybe a receiver falls there. Maybe Brock Bowers is there. He's available in one of the mock drafts at 15 to the Colts. So do you go Brock Bowers? Do you go tackle? But my point is, are you taking edge rusher off now that you got Chase Young?
Oh, I don't think you take edge rusher off at all.
I like that guy from UCLA, man. Have you seen him?
I mean, God, did they get how you say his name?
I don't know. That's why I said the guy from UCLA.
Latu? They get him. He's got neck problems. He's got neck problems too, Gus. Like, are we going to have the all neck trouble defensive end?
I didn't know he had neck problems. All I saw is he's incredibly fast, and the guy's like a martial art expert.
Yeah, he retired because he had neck trouble. They gave him some exercise. He got fixed. He went to UCLA. It's fine. Okay. No, but back to your question about I don't think edge is off the table at all, because here's the thing. Let's say he balls out and he gets you 12 and a half sacks. You're probably not keeping him. He's probably out of your price range, and he's probably getting $75 million. You're getting a third-round comp pick for him, right? So then you're back to, you don't have an edge. Cam Jordan's a year older, and all you got is Granderson and Foskey, you know, so, and Peyton Turner, they're not going to pick up his option. So I don't think edge is off the table at all. What I think it allows them to do is it gives them flexibility where they can say, okay, you know what? The edges, they had a run on them before 14, and wow, our number two offensive tackle is there. Cool, we can do that. We'll do something else at 45. I think it just opens up possibilities for them, but I don't think edge is off the table at all. Like, Gus, I'll guarantee you, and I don't know the Saints board. I'm not pretending to know that. But let's just say that the kid from Florida State, who kind of is like the prototypical Saints defensive end, Jared Verse. I'm going to tell you, if the Saints have him at like 8 on their board, and they're picking 14, and they're like, he's 8.
Well, Kiper's got him at 8. Kiper's got him at 8. Yeah, Dallas Turner's moved up to, he's got him at 9. Dallas Turner's moved to 8 to the Falcons. So, but to your point, though, I was listening as late as this morning, now predicting 5 quarterbacks in the top 10, 4 in the top 6. If that happens, some of these guys are going to fall, man. And then do you do the inevitable? Do you move up? Who's the player you're moving up for, Ralph?
Honestly, Gus, there's not. If the Saints move up, I'm going to have to occupy airline like it's January 6th. Like, there's no, seriously, though, there is no player. There is no player in this draft.
Not a one.
Not, because they're not taking a quarterback. They're not going to move into the top 3.
Okay.
Right? There's no player in this draft that the Saints should move up for.
Okay.
And I'm an LSU guy. You know it. I love Neighbors. I love Verse. I like the Joe Alt, the tackle. They're all great. No player the Saints should move up for. None. Like, I don't care. sit there at 14, take the best guy on your board, or maybe Loomis. I know they never do it, but Gus, they haven't. Gus, I don't think the Saints have done a serious trade down since me and you worked the draft.
No, we're not trading down. Get that out of the universe. Please don't trade down. Get a good tackle or something at 14. Come on, Ralph. What are you doing?
I mean, I'm just saying, if they could move down like six spots and get another top 100
player. All right, let's go six. Let's go six on Kiper. Let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's got Brian Thomas, receiver, LSU.
I mean, that wouldn't be bad because they still have a tackle there. I just think, Gus, they need young talent in the building. They're not going to – I know the same.
Well, they have Brian Murphy at 19, defensive tackle, Texas, going to the Rams, I guess, to replace Aaron Donald there. I like that guy. That guy's huge.
Yeah, he's huge. I like – I just make it – just don't trade down. Take somebody at 14. Just take a tackle, take a D end. Just take a guy at 14. Just don't trade up for the love of Christmas. I mean, Gus, because here's the thing: my nightmare scenario for the Saints is like the Giants are on the clock at six, and we're like, duh, 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 duh. And it's like the New Orleans Saints are on the clock, and they pick Joe Alt from Notre Dame, and everybody's like, he's an awesome tackle. And I'm like, I don't care because they just gave up pick 45 to move up eight. And they're not picking again until like 145. No.
Hey, Ralph. Ralph.
I'll be apocalyptic.
Ralph, you ready?
The New Orleans Saints select.
There it is. The New Orleans Saints select. I have that sounder. I have Goodell. Gotta have good old comrade Goodell ready to do that. All right. Let's see what takes place. The beauty of it is we have a ton of time to speculate over the next couple of weeks. Sir, thank you as always for your time. How can folks get the Saints Happy Hour podcast?
Just wherever you get your podcast.
You see,
Saints Happy Hour. give us a listen. Our show last night was magic. Because we were drunk, we were angry about the Saints maybe signing a guy with a trick neck. It was poetry. It was award winning, Gus. I'm not gonna lie.
And all that Adam Schefter had to do was just say it's a very incentive laden based $1.2 million.
Come on, Adam. So all you have to do is not cut and paste what the agent said you. That's too much to ask. I'm hot today, Gus.
Easy enough. Love it, man. Take care as always. Saints Happy Hour podcast, Mr. Ralph Marhul. See you next week, bud.
Yeah.
There he goes. When we come back, head coach Corey Brown already to my right. It is an absolutely gorgeous day. Did you order this day for us? I mean, it is absolutely beautiful out here in the Party Shack.
Yeah, it is nice. It's very bright.
It's nice. It's gorgeous out here. We'll talk about his NOLA Gold as they get ready for their second straight road game. And we'll touch on that when we come back to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It is the Sports Hangover Hour 1, brought to you by No Wake Outfitters over there on Airline Drive. Think of asking us already. And Coach Corey Brown of the NOLA Gold. If you've paddleboarded, have you kayaked?
Definitely kayaked. Not paddleboarded. Okay. No. Or have I? Yeah, no, I have. I did in the... in the summer back in New Zealand in Lake Wanaka.
I was going to say, you're from New Zealand, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is that different than, like, the stuff that happens in Australia and stuff? Are those waters just as dangerous and, you know, crocs and things of that nature?
No, a lot different. So, spiders. Australia, no spiders. Well, there are spiders, but they're not poisonous spiders.
Big old snakes?
No snakes.
Okay.
So, we've got no poisonous animals in New Zealand.
No?
But a lot of wild animals, but no, none that can kill you.
Have you ever come across a kangaroo?
I did in Australia, but not in New Zealand. There's a few wallabies that are creeping into New Zealand, which is like a small kangaroo. But,
sure.
But, yeah, in Australia, I lived in Australia for about 4 years.
I had no idea that. I mean, they'll walk up and kick you.
Yeah, I went. I remember going to a zoo and we're walking around and you're in with all the kangaroos. And my son was about 4 years old and he went up to try and give some food to a kangaroo and it sort of got up on its tail and was about to box him. So... we had to get in there and get him out.
So it's not cartoon. That's for real.
It's for real, yeah. It is for real.
They're kind of big, too. You think of them being small, but I mean, I've seen some videos. I'm like, that's like a six-foot guy. I mean, those things are pretty big.
Even bigger than that, and they get up on their tail and they put their front they're sort of hands up, ready to take you on.
They'll be boxing. No, it's awesome. We talked about size, and one of the things in the first two games for you, Coach, you thought you had maybe a size advantage, an advantage in terms of competition there as well. Then you're going to get that first real test this past weekend and go and taking on a team like New England that's won the title, they've been in the playoffs, things of that nature. You don't come away with the win, but and everyone that I've talked to and reading the recap, it was a tight match and it was a fight. And is that something that you kind of like? I mean, like an early barometer, perhaps, of where your team is.
Yeah, look, I was really proud of the performance and the effort that the players put in for 80 minutes up there. A little bit frustrated we didn't come away with the win, but the last two times we'd been up there, I think we'd shipped 50 points, and they're a really good side, a good outfit, and won it last year. So really proud of the effort. We went up with a bit of a mindset to go and take the fight to them, and I thought we did that really well. It was just a little bit frustrating not to get the win because we gave ourselves an opportunity to get it.
What kind of team is New England? Is it similar that they've kind of been? Did they have a lot of different changes, or was it kind of what you expected when you took to the pitch?
No, they're a good side from sort of 1 to 15. They play a good brand of rugby. They're quite well structured. So we really wanted to unsettle them and take them on physically and take them on and upset their game, and that was the focus. And then hopefully when we got the opportunity, that would take our chances. And we did that pretty well in the first half and then missed a couple in the second, which, you know, we could have come away with the win.
What was it that really stood out to you in terms of something that you took back on that plane ride home? I was talking to Nick and even Brian Fitzgerald, your GM here, was like, I wasn't even upset, really, on that flight back home because you got to see some things that you think can translate further. I know you're the coach and you want the win, but what were some things when you got on the plane, you kind of relaxed for a sec that you really thought you could build on this season?
Yeah, it was probably how the players responded and fought for each other. And even in the aftermatch after the game, their captain, Josh Larson, spoke about how we sort of brought a physicality and played to our strengths and really took it to them. So I was really proud of how everyone sort of stood up and really took the game to them. So something moving forward for me was good to reflect on, because then every week we know that we can do that and we've got to do that. So hopefully that we, as a NOLA Gold and as a NOLA rugby team, that we've sort of set an identity and a bit of a way we're going to play the game.
There's a lot of guys that have played together here on this roster for a couple of seasons here as well, but that was your first road trip with them and everything. How is that something where you guys can sort of build and connect and just kind of get to see some of the personalities, I guess? Because that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, big time. And it's good to see people out of their environment and traveling. And like, I thought we gelled really well. We traveled well. There's a few delays at the airport, but we got there. It was an early kickoff, so everyone prepared really well, had a really good week's preparation. Mm-hmm. So, and then afterwards, you know, we had a beer together, and it was great to see a few personalities come out.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so now you kind of get ready for this week here. I was asking you, because there's no training, which is practice, today. You've kind of already started turning that page a little bit. What when you get back to the pitch and start practicing, when do you focus on maybe fixing some things, working some things that you saw that you want to work on, or is it just full attention on Dallas? How's that work?
No, so on Monday we come back and do a quick review in the morning, a team and units type review between backs and forwards, and then we look to implement those fixes throughout the week. So then straight away in the afternoon on Monday we put our clarity into how we're going to play Dallas, and then everything's sort of focused. Tuesday had a really good day's training yesterday, and everything's focused on making those improvements, but also looking forward to what we have to do against Dallas.
What is it about Dallas that stands out to you? I look at the, you know, the table standings there, and they have 11 points, and they're behind Seattle by a point of 12, and Houston's at the top early on in 13. So just early on, when you look at it, what kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, look, I think they're a good side. We played
123 points for it. That's a lot of points, huh?
Yeah, they played really well in the preseason against us.
Okay.
Scored sort of 40 points, which was a wee bit disappointing. So we've got a bit of a bit of revenge to go back and play them. But they played Anthem last week and scored 78. So
Is that a lot of points in rugby?
Yeah, it is.
It seems like a lot of points.
It's a lot of points in cricket probably as well, but it's a lot of points in any sport, especially rugby. So, look, they can score tries from anywhere, and they're a fit side, and they're really committed, so we're going to have to be on our game.
I know you told me earlier in the season you wanted to kind of build a team that was based on speed. Is that what that they are? Is it speed? Is it size? How do they score so many points?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. They've got a really quick back row and a fit back row, which is the guys at the side of the scrum.
Okay.
And they've got some skillful teens that can kick really well. So it's going to be a real challenge, but it's going to be also an opportunity for us to hopefully go toe-to-toe and come away with a good win.
Occasionally the Saints will play a team in preseason that they play in the regular season, and they approach it differently. Obviously in the preseason you don't show as much and things of that nature. How do you approach a preseason game against an opponent like that and knowing you're going to face them in the regular season when it counts?
Yeah, so for me it was just about giving guys game time through that preseason. We managed to do that, but unfortunately we didn't come away with the performance that we wanted. So an in-season game is a lot different. We've got a real mindset that we're going there with to get back. They've got a strong maul, so we're going to have to be really disciplined throughout the field so they don't get into our 22. And then when we get the opportunity, we've just got to take it.
It kind of seems obvious to me, Abby. You compare and contrast perhaps that film that you have from the game that you played in the preseason to their three games so far and see if they're doing the same things, what they didn't show you, what they did, or is pretty much what you saw them do last week, what you saw a couple of weeks ago when you scrimmaged them?
Yeah, a little bit similar. It's sort of how they approach the game. I think they attack the breakdown really well. Mm-hmm. They're at every breakdown. They're always sort of pushing the limit of the refs, so... But they do have some really good first-base strikes.
They push the limit of the rut?
Yeah.
They live in that grey area, is that what you're telling me?
They do, a bit like ourselves, I guess. But so it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good challenge.
I didn't understand that. A little tactic, a little strategy there. Give me an example of pushing the limits there of the rut.
Just around that offside line. And,
okay.
And around the breakdowns, really difficult for refs to referee.
Sort of like Jersey Tigers.
Yeah, a little bit of that as well. A little bit of niggle and a little bit of grab a jersey. And that's what's good about rugby. It's 15 men competing against each other, and you know every play is important.
Every time we talk to coaches, especially after they come off of a defeat, one of the things they always touch on is that first practice back, that week back, getting into it. I know we're only on Wednesday here as well, but so far, do you kind of get that sense, that eagerness that this team's ready to get back on the pitch and get back into the winning column?
Yeah, I do. I thought our Monday and Tuesday trainings have probably been one of our best trainings, and preparing well. Hopefully, they have a good day off today and get a bit of treatment, and then come in tomorrow to really keep preparing and have a good session tomorrow, so then we can travel down to Dallas.
How much of that is dependent on or based on or you want it to come from your guys that are captains and your guys that are kind of leaders on this team?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. Around the coaches help the leaders set up the week, but the leaders need to drive that and get aligned with the coaches on how we're going to play. So I think we've done that quite well so far, and hopefully we finish that off tomorrow, and then Friday a bit of a captain's run, and then travel down and then play and perform well.
Are you one of those motivating coaches too, like you get like a top of an aluminum garbage can and go smack it around in there while some of the guys are napping? Let's go get ready to go.
sometimes yeah, if I have to I can bang a table or two, but I try not to do it too often.
Are you more of a calm I don't know, because obviously you're up in the box, so I don't know, are you pounding the fist in there or anything? I mean, or do you kind of try to keep those emotions in check?
I try to keep them in check, but it's an emotional game, and sometimes they get a bit out of hand. But I'm probably a little bit more calm.
Right. And how important is that? Like, obviously, when you come into halftime, because you don't have that much time, right, to make some adjustments or something and just kind of, hey, this is what you kind of have to do.
Yeah, we probably have about 10 minutes at halftime, which is not a lot of time by the time they get off the field and see a little bit of the medical staff and catch their breath. And so we just give them a couple key messages, and hopefully they go out and execute and perform those in the second half.
I like that. See, my I guess what you just told me is I have like a minute or so. So I'd be like, run fast, tackle hard, do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, rugby's a simple game, so that's pretty much it.
Right.
But sometimes it gets complicated by coaching and refereeing and laws and everything else.
Got about 2 minutes here. We're with head coach Corey Brown of Enola Gold here with 10 points in the table standings in the Eastern Conference. Just kind of, I guess your overview so far, I know, again, through 3 weeks. How's the East sort of looking so far? Is it kind of what you envisioned and thought it would be?
Yeah, I think it is. It's early days, of course.
Sure.
Like, we've only, you know, this will be our fourth game against Dallas in the weekend. But I think so. I think the teams are quite evenly matched. I think anyone can beat anyone. So, it's an exciting division, and it's an exciting league, which is really growing.
When does it start to kind of separate a little bit until you start seeing, you know, who's the... Okay, that's the team that's probably going to be there come May, come June, when the season ends.
Yeah, probably around round 10, I reckon. You can probably...
Really?
Yeah, it'll take a... I think the first start of the start of the season is quite difficult because a lot of teams don't play a lot of preseason games.
Right. So you're still trying to figure out what kind of team you are, then eventually attrition, things of that nature.
Yeah, that's right. And a few injuries come in.
So okay, so that's something to keep an eye on. That's good. So we're going into week four.
Yep, so I think around 10 will be really, you'll start to see who's potentially going to be in those playoffs.
All right, easy enough. Well, hopefully, Coach, when we talk to you again next Wednesday, we'll be talking about another win, win number three.
Yeah, hopefully, and that's the plan and that's the focus, and hopefully the boys perform that on Saturday night.
And then we'll be back here next Friday as well, because you'll have a home game coming up. So it'd be great to come back here and play at home. I will do my best to bottle up this weather. This is perfect right
now. Yeah, it's a good rugby playing weather. I hope it doesn't get too much. The heat doesn't get too
much. Like I said, I will do my best to try to bottle it up for sure. But good luck and safe travels to Dallas and bring home a W.
Thank you very much.
Head coach Corey Brown live at the Gold Mine on Airline here in the Party Shack. I love that. Literally, you come home or... On home games, you come here after, have a beer with coach, have a beer with the players, go back and forth. There is no other sport that does that. It's pretty cool. Open phone lines on the Ruderman Can hotline and guest line. Our thanks again to Ruderman for joining us back on Monday, being a part of the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System.
Hello, I'm Billy Knockin, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodaux Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury? Or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for relief? Thibodaux Regional has developed a unique approach to treating neck and back disorders. The Spine Center of Excellence provides a comprehensive, patient-centered approach to ensure that you receive the right care at the right time from the right provider. The Spine Center is different because it offers centralized access to multiple specialties and services. Patients and their referring physicians are led by a nurse navigator through a process of assessment and treatment, individually tailored to the patient's unique condition. In addition to total care coordination, the Spine Center's comprehensive services include everything from high-tech diagnostic imaging to physical therapy, surgery, alternative medicines, and chronic pain services. If you're experiencing back or neck pain, call today, 985-493-4501. The Spine Center of Excellence of Thibodaux Regional will put you on the path back to your normal routine.
This Medical Minute was sponsored by Thibodaux Regional Health System, nationally recognized for providing the highest level of quality care and patient satisfaction.
Sink or tub stopped up, can't get it to drain? You know who can?
Ruderman Can! Ruderman Can! Ruderman Can! 262-8222! 262-8222!
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. It is the Ruderman Can hotline as well. Got a couple of things to touch on of notes. As we said, that contract with Chase Young, a little different when you realize it's very incentive-based, as Ralph Marlborough said. He could have just told us it's for one point something, and everything else is basically roster bonus, game checks. Every game he plays, he gets a bonus and things of that nature. So it can get up to the $13 million instead of, here it is, $13 million is all guaranteed. You don't have to play it down, kind of a thing, right? We played this a little bit yesterday. I don't know if you heard it, if you wanted to hear some of the things that he had to say back a couple days ago when he did sign and was in town, and what he wanted to touch on first and foremost, why signing with the Saints.
Just excited to be a Saint, man. Just excited to help this team. Grateful, for the opportunity, and my plan is to make the most of it, and help this team to get to that one common goal.
Thoughts to Dennis Allen,
the coach. I can just tell he's going to hold me to the highest standard, and I can just tell that's just going to make me the best player that I can be.
One of the other things that he said that was interesting was his thoughts basically on the team and what he thought overall with the Saints and what he had to do.
We have great defense, Tyron, Cam, Carl, Pete, DeMario. I mean, I feel like it's weapons all over the field. My goal is just going to be the best chaser that I can be. And, I definitely, plan to add a good piece to be a part of this defense.
All right. So that's Chase Young. We'll have some more if you missed some of that here as well. But JP's decided to stop on by and hang out. What's up, man?
Absolutely.
How are you? I haven't seen you in a while, man.
I've been around looking after some injuries and all that. But,
no, I hear you, man. It's been a bit. Saw you a lot last year, obviously, in school and those things, and then obviously throughout the season. I want to get your touch here because, or kind of compare and contrast, last year to this year here as well, Corey's influence coming in and getting off to 2-1 start, man.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think it's been really, really beneficial for us having all the experience from Corey and a couple of good players coming in. I think even from last year to the year before and then last year to this year, every year has been a massive increase in, just in the professionalism within the club and clarity within the team and all those small little things that is needed to be successful. It's great if we continue on this path, we're heading in the right direction.
One of the things that we saw in the first 2 weeks here as well was the fact that you had coach say that you guys maybe had a bit of an advantage, especially in that size and the speed and I guess just experience there in the first two. And then you go face a team like New England that's been in the postseason and it's won the championship there. How beneficial is it to sort of have that early barometer, that early test of the season, just to see where you guys are?
No, absolutely. I think, look, New England's always a good, strong side. And, we obviously having them early on in the season is a great kind of barometer of to see, where we are at the moment and, if we're heading in the right direction. I think we took a lot of good lessons from that game. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot from it. There was some good and there was some bad stuff, some work-ons. But I think overall, we're heading into the direction that we've set out for the season. So I think we can be really proud of the performance. Obviously, there's some stuff that needs fixing and put ourselves a bit under pressure at times. But I think in general, with our game plan and what we set out to do, I think we kind of did that.
JP, is it different when you play a team like that, knowing that they've been in a postseason, they have gotten that pinnacle, they've been able to win a championship to kind of see, okay, that's their standards, their pedigree, that's who they are, that's their name, things of that nature to kind of, test your mettle. I mean, it is different, right? And not them saying that you're not respecting Dallas or, the other teams that you did with Anthem, but that it is different.
It is. So I think the one side is, yes, it was great for us to measure ourselves against, what was seen as the best last year, and I think they've had a good start this year as well, to see where we are at. So I think we that was great. But, on the other hand, you see teams that maybe last year didn't perform as well, performing a lot better this year. And, getting – if you look at across the board, all the teams are pretty much – equal, and any game at any time, any team can win.
Corey said that just a segment ago, that he thinks that's the case. You've been around since MLR first started.
Yep.
So it is that a sign of the growth of where MLR is, too, where it did feel like you had good teams and some other teams and things that ain't true. Why do you think that it's kind of even all the way across? Are teams or cities investing more in their programs? Are better players coming in? Why is MLR even?
Yeah, I think, look, it's growing. You've got to understand that. So teams are signing better players, better coaches, and all these things. And then I think with New York going out and who was at Toronto, these players that came available and kind of got spread between the teams in the league strengthened these teams as well. So you got to understand all these things. All the teams now have better players, better coaching, and year on year you can see the quality of rugby getting better across board. So it's definitely, you know, from the first year to this year, I mean, it's grown tremendously.
One of the things that I thought was interesting when we were a couple weeks ago, before the season started, too, Nick was bringing up the fact that Major League Rugby Network, and you can stream these games for free, so people can see that.
Yeah.
So it's more accessible. You do have the national contracts with CBS Sports and all that other stuff. That's accessible.
Yeah.
And helps there as well. And I wonder, too, you're starting to build that little fan base and that following, largest home opening attendance crowd that you guys have had, so it's going to grow and get better and bigger like that. I mean, you're seeing that throughout the league as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we knew it was going to take time. You know, as we've said before, you know, rugby is it's a massive sport globally, right? And in the United States, it's grown, I think, 40% from last year to this year.
Wow.
In 2023, 40% growth. It's the fastest growing contact sport in the United States. We've got the World Cup coming up in 2031, which is the third largest sporting event in the world behind FIFA World Cup and Olympics. So it's massive. And I think the more people realize here and they start understanding the sport and start enjoying it, it has to grow, right? So with that in mind, it has to grow and people enjoy it. Once they watch the sport, they start understanding it a bit more. It's really entertaining.
Yeah.
And then also families come out and watch. So they really enjoy it.
Well, along those lines, I brought this up when we first started a couple of weeks back, that I was driving, you know, down West Metairie there, and one of the things that I saw was, you know, East Jefferson High School practicing. Obviously, Chef Scotty let me know that my high school, Brother Barton, has a rugby team, so you have all of these high schools doing that. What is the importance of these high schools really just starting those programs, whether they're clubs or whatever, and then you guys being able to be a part of that as well and help that with those clinics and just kind of touching on that?
Absolutely. You know, in the off-season, we try to reach out to a lot of schools. So we got the flag program, the flag rugby, where we go out to schools and try to implement the programs at schools, introducing the game of rugby, basic skills of rugby, the rules, little things like that. And then also, you know, last year we had Brother Martin and we had Jeswood. This year we've got Brother Martin, Jeswood, St. Paul's, we got East Jefferson, Warren Easton. These are all schools that have added to the New Orleans League, you know, which is great. So, look, I think in general you could see the growth within the schools. We are, you know, I think it's growing youth rugby as well, which is very important for the longevity of the sport. And also those are the kids that come out to watch you on the weekend, you know, and I think we've done a really good job also interacting with the fans and the youngsters coming out and, you know, young players coming out. And when we coach at these schools as well, you know, it raises the quality of coaching or, you know, what they learn as well, the drills that we implement. So the skill level raises, the level of rugby raises, they start enjoying it more. So I definitely think it has a massive impact.
Right. I mean, I don't know the first thing how to go about a rugby practice, but no, but that's the point. Obviously, if you follow and you play the sport, it kind of gives that. But I think it's different when you have professionals, people that play that for a living, people that, you know, come out there and do those different aspects of it, and it's your livelihoods. So I think it is different when you do that. It also kind of explains where the sport is globally and where everything else goes.
Exactly.
Cool. So, all right, before we let you go, man, Dallas, what challenges do they bring? Coach said they score like a gazillion points, 78 and all this stuff. What makes them so, I guess, offensively minded?
Yeah, look, I think they're not afraid to spread the ball.
Okay.
I think they like to play, a running style of rugby. And but look, what we're focusing on is our game plan, what we've done well, you know, things that we've tried to work on that we haven't quite executed yet. Small details within our own game is our main focus point. Obviously, we know what they bring, and they would have analyzed what we bring. But, you know, on the day, we've got to pitch up. You've got to bring your A game, and, you know, you just got to get stuck in. So they play a beautiful style of rugby, but so do we. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be entertaining, definitely.
Good seeing you, JB.
It's good to see you, too.
Yeah,
brother.
I know.
Yeah,
this
thanks for
getting bigger.
Chatting with me again. Yeah. Oh, this little guy, yeah, he's getting bigger. Yeah. Because
yeah,
he's
no,
been
seriously, I know. I hear
a
you.
A while.
Believe me, Trevor, who's now seven, he always likes to hop on and do those things. So
We'll
definitely have him on next time.
Absolutely,
hey,
brother.
Man,
thank you so much
for having
me.
For sure, man. Good luck this week as you guys take on Dallas. And that brings a close to our number one as we are at the Gold Mine. on airline home of your NOLA Gold. Spoke with head coach Corey Brown as well about him at this past hour. Coming up at 1:15, we will chat with Jim Eichenhofer of the New Orleans Pelicans. 1:45, Jeff Boggs from ESPN Bet. And at 2:15, Sean Fox will join us here as well. We've got a ton to get into. We'll have more sound from coming up, of course, at the Pels and their wins, including Zion. Head coach Willie Green, the significance of win number 42, all and more when we come back. It's the sport on ESPN New Orleans.
The king is
I said not old, what joy bring. We are going, we're going to ring the king.
The King Firm. If you've been injured, ring the king. 504-909-5464.
That's 504-909-5464. Located at 2912 Canal Street, New Orleans. If you're injured in an accident,
I say have no fear.
The King Firm.
The King Firm is here. We are going, we're going to ring the king.
LA 23-15-341.
At BetUS.com, why do we care about a college basketball tournament every March? Where bets mean everything? Because it's March Mania, where glory triumphs and anything can happen. Where underdogs can make or break our hearts. Because it's March Mania, where brackets are broken and buzzers are beaten. And there's always been a sportsbook there for you and your best buds. Because it's March Mania. BetUS has been with you through 30 marches together, and like any good six man, we've always had your back. And because it's March, BetUS.com is matching the mania with a mad offer. Back to back to back, 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, and the extra confidence that comes from a 10% gambler's insurance. Because anything can happen during March Mania. BetUS Sportsbook and Casino, where the game begins. Get started today.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.